Well, thank you, Amy, Isabel, Ann, Shannon, everyone. You know, there's certain beautiful songs that you hear, and it's almost as though you feel like you're the one going into heaven and hearing the angels sing. I mean, it's that kind of music, just a beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I don't think there's any one of us here today or any one of us watching or listening that don't desire to be that sanctuary and don't desire to live in that sanctuary, to have our place be that close to God all the time, regardless of what's going on in life, to be that close to God. And when you're that close to God in God's presence, you're in the sanctuary, for it's wherever God is. This that I'm reading now is the 23rd Psalm. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even, I'm not going to be afraid. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord," the sanctuary, "in the house of the Lord forever." That chapter of the book of Psalms, that section, passage, whatever you want to call it, of Scripture, is probably one of the most read and one of the most well-known passages probably in the whole Bible. We hear it mostly during times of trial. We hear it a lot at funerals, although I've used it and even heard it used at weddings, because it brings about this sense of peace and comfort and this sense of joy and hope for the future. It's probably the most memorized scripture in all the Bible. Probably most of you, or many of you, at least know part of the passage and can say it from memory by heart. It's probably the most cross-stitched piece of scripture you'll ever see. It's hung in frames all over walls, all over the place. I was even, a couple of years ago, I was walking on the beach, and I was walking a little faster than the gentleman who was ahead of me walking, and he was walking in nothing but his bathing suit, no shirt or anything, and walking along, and I kind of caught up with him, and I noticed something tattooed on his left side. And just, you know, to be friendly, I just looked at him and said, what's that written on your side? And he held up his arm as he was walking, and it was the 23rd Psalm. And he said, "I always want to make sure I keep it close to my heart." That's why he had it tattooed there. The 23rd Psalm is actually this song, this poem written by a shepherd. It was written by a shepherd about a shepherd. David, the writer, was a shepherd. Before David was anything else or became anything else, he was a shepherd. And the great thing about David is that through all his life and everything he dealt with and all the mistakes he made, David never forgot what it meant to be a shepherd and what he learned by being a shepherd. David was probably maybe in a family business of shepherds. I don't know. It was not a profession that was considered to be very prestigious in that day. Shepherds were sort of considered to be outcasts, kind of dirty people, maybe dishonest people, poor and lowly people. They were among those least in society at the time. The only people who became shepherds, people would say, were the people who couldn't do anything else with themselves. They weren't educated enough to do anything else, and they were unfit for any other line of work, and so they became shepherds. But David was different. David gained this fame and notoriety because he was a great musician, first of all. But he also became pretty famous because he knew how to use a slingshot pretty good. And he's the one who whipped that rock around and hit that big Philistine right between the eyes and knocked him down. And after David had conquered his encounter with Goliath, David gained this wonderful close relationship with King Saul at that time and became best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. And, you know, they became good friends and all of that. And then Saul turns on David and Saul and Jonathan end up getting killed and David becomes king. I mean, I'm condensing the story, obviously, but the point is this shepherd, this lowly shepherd became king. Now, after that, and after writing the 23rd Psalm, I believe Bible scholars will tell you, after that is when he made some serious mistakes with his life. He stepped out of faithfulness to God. He got involved in this adulterous situation and even kind of worked it out to try to have the husband of the woman killed. Clearly, David has a checkered past. Let's just say that's for sure. He had a terrible checkered past and was very unfaithful to God at times in his life. But he was known as this man after God's own heart still. And despite all his flaws, despite everything that David had done wrong, God was never unfaithful to David. God never turned his back. God was always there for David through all the life events, through all the mistakes, through all the victories even. David recognized that God was always the same. God was always there. God was always with him. God was always providing for him, always protecting him, always there with him. And I hope you and I can do the same thing because, you know, we have pretty checkered past too. At least I know I do. Maybe you don't, but pretty checkered past. I'm hoping we can look back at our lives just like David does and see, oh, yeah. Yeah, God, you were there. Yeah, you made the way. You laid the path for me to get out of that mess I made. You were always there. You were always faithful. David knew God, through all that he had done, was always faithful to him. And on top of that, he never forgot what it meant to be a shepherd. He never forgot the role and the responsibility of being a shepherd, how a shepherd knows his sheep, knows them by name even, how a shepherd always knows his sheep. And he remembered how sheep are pretty filthy animals and messy animals and nasty animals and dirty animals, and they lose their way real easy. You know how a sheep loses his way? A sheep will put his head down and start eating, and a sheep will keep eating and keep eating and keep eating and keep eating. And sooner or later, a couple of miles down the road, he'll look up and see where he is, and he's lost. David knows that about sheep. David knows what it's like to be a shepherd. He remembers how a shepherd does everything to protect his sheep, how a shepherd is always there to make sure the sheep have plenty of food access to them and plenty of water to get to. And if the sheep wanders off, the shepherd's always the one who goes after that one sheep and gets that sheep and brings that sheep back to the flock. A shepherd always makes sure that his sheep have everything they need. Always they have everything. And maybe the most important thing David remembers is that the shepherd is always watching out for that predator. Because there's a predator out there, David knows, who wants to destroy those sheep. There's a predator out there that wants to get to these sheep, and David remembers how he would use all the weapons he had to make sure that predator couldn't get to those sheep. And how he was always careful as a shepherd to keep his sheep on the right path. Never let them stray too far. Keep them there on the path they should be on. David remembers all these things all these things about being a shepherd, and all these ways that God has always been faithful to him through all he's been through. So through all David went through as a man, he remembers shepherding, and he never forgot it. So as David is thinking about this, as he's thinking about his experiences, as he's thinking about God's faithfulness to him and his experiences as a shepherd, he sits down and he writes down the 23rd Psalm. He sits down and he says, you know what? I know what it means to be a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I wish we could hear the inflection in his voice. I wish we could hear the emphasis. You know, this is what I hate about text messaging. You know, somebody will text message you something, and you'll completely misunderstand what they're saying because you can't hear the inflection in their voice. You can't hear them say it, and you can't hear the emphasis that they're having in their voice. I wish we could hear how David would be saying this, because I think David would be saying, as he's writing this down, I think he would be saying, look, I am a shepherd. I know what it's like to be a shepherd. And let me tell you something. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. I'm not going to want. I won't ever want for anything. Because the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and goes beside the quiet waters. He makes sure I have everything I need. Food, water, everything. He restores me. He restores my soul. He takes me down the right paths. He makes sure I don't wander too far from the path of righteousness. He always takes me down the correct paths. And when I go through the dark times, the tough times in life, I'm not going to be afraid, David says. I'm not going to be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to be afraid because he's there. And he's got a rod and he's got a staff. And with that rod and that staff, he can beat off anything, any kind of predator that could get to me. With that rod and that staff, they comfort me. I'm comforted because the Lord has those weapons that the Lord can use to protect me as I travel along, and he is my shepherd. I can even be in the presence of my enemies, and he'll set a table for me. He'll set a table and have me sit down right there in the presence of my enemies. The Lord is my shepherd. He honors me. He anoints me. He gives me everything to the point that my cup just overflows, David's writing. My point, that my cup just overflows. So since the Lord is my shepherd, David's saying, and I know what it's like to be a shepherd, since the Lord is my shepherd, surely, absolutely, no-brainer, without a doubt, goodness and mercy are going to follow me. Surely, goodness and mercy are going to follow me. They're going to seek me as a shepherd seeks his sheep. Goodness and mercy are going to pursue me. They're going to follow me. They're going to come after me. They're going to always be with me. They're going to always be around me. Goodness and mercy will always be there. And I'm not worried about any predator coming after me or coming to get me to destroy me. What I'm thinking about is God's goodness and mercy is going to come to me. God's goodness and mercy is what's going to pursue me. God's goodness and mercy is what's going to be with me, and I'm going to dwell with him. I'm going to sit in his sanctuary every day of my life. I'm going to dwell in his sanctuary, dwell in his presence for my whole life. Do you hear what David's saying? Do you hear the amazing thing this shepherd is saying about the shepherd? The amazing things he is saying, that it's not evil that pursues us that we need to worry about. He's got a rod and a staff. That it's not a predator that's going to pursue us that we need to be thinking about. He's going to protect us. He's there for us. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is perfectly capable of protecting you from anything this world can throw at you. Perfectly capable of protecting you as your shepherd from anything that can happen. But you're being followed still. You're being pursued. Something is following you. And it's God's mercy. And it's God's grace. And it's God's love. And it's God's forgiveness. and it's God's presence. It's all these things of who God is. All of these things, that's what's pursuing you. Now, get this in perspective for just a second. You remember Moses. We talked about Moses a couple of weeks ago. You remember how we talked about how Moses was put into the cleft of the rock? When we were talking about the glory of God, and we talked about how God took Moses and stuck him in the cleft of the rock and put his palm over him as God passed by so that Moses could only see God's back as God walked away and he pulled his hand away. And God said, I will allow my goodness to pass before you. Moses had to pursue God's glory. He had to pursue his goodness. He had to go chasing for his mercy and his goodness, any attributes of God. He was having to go for them and try to get to them and asking God, please show me. Please let me see them. David says, that's not how it is with you and me. We don't have to pursue it. It's here. Surely goodness and mercy are pursuing you. Goodness and mercy are all around you. And I think sometimes we need a reminder of that, especially in this world today. We need a reminder that God's goodness and God's mercy is not something that we hope we'll have once in a while or we hope we'll have someday. It's here now. He's pursuing us with it. He wants it with us all the time. And you can't outrun it. You can't get ahead of it. You can't be bad enough not to have it. You can't do any of those things to get past it. God's goodness and mercy is way faster than you and I are. It's way faster than anything we can do. His grace and His mercy is way faster than that. And the fact is, you just can't simply outrun it. Imagine how much better life can be if we can put away the fear. Put away the fear. Put away the worry. Put away the doubt. And just start looking for God's mercy and for God's grace in every experience, in everything we deal with, in every situation. Imagine how different the world would look if in every experience we're looking and we're seeing God there. Even in the worst of times, we're able to see God's mercy and God's grace is there, and His love is there, and everything is there, and His goodness is there. We're able to see it there. Even in those bad times, even in those times when maybe we've done things we shouldn't do. You know, several years ago, quite a number of years ago, when I was pastoring a church, there was this Christian school there in the same town where I was pastoring this church, and I had become very well acquainted with the school and with the teachers through work my church was doing there in that particular school, and had gotten to know the teachers really well. And they would even invite me to come to participate in certain activities with the kids or a certain class that the kids were maybe having on a particular day. Well, one day I was at the school, and I think it was fifth graders. It was either fourth or fifth graders. I can't remember. I'm old. It's been a while back. But it was either fourth or fifth graders, and I was working with one of these teachers, and the teacher was talking to the children about experiencing God and about giving an example of how they have experienced God in their lives. So I sat there and just listened as these fourth or fifth graders were responding to this question from the teacher about experiencing God. And I don't remember their responses verbatim, obviously. It's been too many years ago. But I remember one little girl mentioned forgiveness. She said, I experience God's forgiveness because I know God forgave me when I rode my bicycle when I wasn't supposed to without telling my mom and dad, right? Or this one little boy said that he experienced God, that God was a provider because they were getting ready to lose their house, and God gave their dad a job so they didn't lose their house. And another, either a little boy or a little girl, said something about God being faithful because they had just received the bill from the Christian school to be able to pay for the Christian school, and they didn't have the money to pay for the Christian school, and the little girl wasn't going to be able to go to school there anymore. And the little girl said, but the very next day, my dad comes home with a bonus from his work, and she said, and my mom cried. Because God provided. God was there. in those times that they were going through. These children, these little children, are finding God's goodness and God's grace and God's provision and God's mercy and God's love in all of these things, in every situation and every experience of their lives. They're noticing it. They're seeing that it's already there, that the goodness and grace of God is there. How tragic it is, guys, how tragic it is that we go through even one day of our lives when we simply don't notice it. How tragic it is that we could go through one day of our lives and not notice God's presence and God's blessings and God's mercy and God's goodness and God's grace and all these things that God's is. We pay attention to the evil. We pay attention to the bad things going on. But we don't notice the goodness of God right there with us. You remember that Wendy's commercial from a long time ago, this senior citizen lady who had the phrase that she said, and everybody remembers the phrase. It was one of the first greatest phrases on a commercial that anybody ever heard. You remember, where's the beef? Yeah, where's the beef, right? Well, I think it's easy for us to look around, especially in a world right now with all this going on with the pandemic, social unrest, political infighting. I think it can be easy for us to look around and say, where's the goodness? Where's the mercy? Where's the grace? Where's the love that we want to see in this world? How much better could our lives be? How much better could this world be if we were a people who were actively looking and seeking to see this goodness and this mercy that follows us all the days of our lives? How much better would our lives be if we could see it and notice it and pay attention to it and recognize it every day in our lives? Because it's in doing that that we start living in that sanctuary every day. It's in doing that that we dwell in God's presence, because we see God in everything. Everything. The loss of a loved one. Everything. The loss of a job. Everything. The child in the hospital. Everything. We're able to see God in everything that goes on in our lives, because you can't outrun it. Surely, He's our shepherd. Surely, absolutely, without a doubt, no brainer, goodness and mercy follow you. They're right there with you. Wherever you are right now, whatever's going on in your life right now, His goodness and His mercy and His love and His grace are right there. They're with you. Pay attention. Notice them. And dwell with Him. Dwell in the sanctuary with Him, because He's your shepherd. David understood what that meant, that He's your shepherd. Understand what that means, that He is your shepherd. Let's bow and have a prayer together. Father, how thankful we are that Your grace, mercy, goodness, love, all of these things, they follow us, they pursue us. And God, sometimes we can run pretty fast. God, sometimes we can run so fast that we think maybe we're outrunning it. But we know that can't be. Father, thank You that You're our shepherd, and that we're not going to want for anything. And God, this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day, may we begin to look at life a little differently. And not focusing so much on the negative, not focusing so much on the evil, not focusing so much on the infighting and all this going on, but focusing on recognizing and experiencing You within all of it. Seeing Your presence in all of these things. Seeing Your goodness and Your love. And Your forgiveness, and Your grace, and Your mercy. Thank You, Father. Thank You for the assurance of Your love, Your protection, and Your presence, because You are our shepherd. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.